smouldering hole. "It seems to open into some kind of room," he said. "After you," said Nigel. He gave Rincewind a gentle push. The wizard staggered forward, bumped his head on the rock, and didn't appear to notice, and then rebounded into the hole. Nigel patted the wall, and his brow wrinkled. "Can you feel something?" he said. "Should the stone be trembling?" "Are you all right?" Nigel put his ear to the stones. "There's a very strange noise," he said, "a sort of humming." A bit of dust shook itself free from the mortar over his head and floated down. Then a couple of much heavier rocks danced free from the walls of the pits and thudded into the sand. Rincewind had already staggered off down the tunnel, making little shocked noises and completely ignoring the stones that were missing him by inches, and in some cases hitting him by kilograms. If he'd been in any state to notice it, he would have known what was happening. The air had a greasy feel and smelled like burning tin. Faint rainbows filmed every point and edge. A magical charge was building up somewhere very close to them, and it was a big one, and it was trying to earth itself. A handy wizard, even one as incapable as Rincewind, stood out like a copper lighthouse. Nigel blundered out of the rumbling, boiling dust and bumped into him standing surrounded by an octarine corona in another cave. Rincewind looked terrible. Creosote would probably have noted his flashing eyes and floating hair. He looked like someone who had just eaten a handful of pineal glands and washed them down with a pint of adrenochrome. He looked so high you could bounce intercontinental TV off him. Every single hair stood out from his head, giving off little sparks. Even his skin gave the impression that it was trying to get away from him. His eyes appeared to be spinning horizontally. When he opened his mouth, peppermint sparks flashed from his teeth. Where he had trodden, stone melted or grew ears or turned into something small and scaly and purple and flew away. "I say," said Nigel, "are you all right?" Said Rincewind, and the syllable turned into a large doughnut. "You don't look all right," said Nigel, with what might be called in the circumstances unusual perspicacity. "Why not try getting us out of here?" Nigel added, and wisely flung himself flat on the floor. Rincewind nodded like a puppet and pointed his loaded digit at the ceiling, which melted like ice under a blow lamp. Still the rumbling went on, sending its disquieting harmonics dancing through the palace. It is a well-known factoid that there are frequencies that can cause panic and frequencies that can cause embarrassing incontinence. But the shaking rock was resonating at the frequency that causes reality to melt and run out at the corners. Nigel regarded the dripping ceiling and cautiously tasted it. "Lime custard," he said, and added, "I suppose there's no chance of stairs, is there?" More fire burst from Rincewind's ravaged fingers, coalescing into an almost perfect escalator, except that possibly no other moving staircase in the universe was floored with alligator skin. Nigel grabbed the gently spinning wizard and leapt aboard. Fortunately, they had reached the top before the magic vanished very suddenly. Sprouting out of the centre of the palace, shattering rooftops like a mushroom bursting through an ancient pavement, was a white tower taller than any other building in Al-Khali. Huge double doors had opened at its base, and out of them, striding along as though they owned the place, were dozens of wizards. Rincewind thought he could recognise a few faces, faces which he'd seen before, bumbling vaguely in lecture theatres or peering amiably at the world in the university grounds. They weren't faces built for evil. They didn't even have a fang between them. But there was some common denominator among their expressions that could terrify a thoughtful person. Nigel was pulled back behind a handy wall. He found himself looking into Rincewind's worried eyes.
"Hey, that's magic." "I know," said Rincewind. "It's not right."
Nigel peered up at the sparkling tower.
"But..."
"It feels wrong," said Rincewind. "Don't ask me why." Half a dozen of the Seraph's guards erupted from an arched doorway and plunged towards the wizards, their headlong rush made all the more sinister by their ghastly battle silences. For a moment their swords flashed in the sunlight, and then a couple of the wizards turned, extended their hands, and... Nigel looked away.
"Rrrr,"
he said. A few curved swords dropped onto the cobbles.
"I think we should very quickly go away," said Rincewind. "But didn't you see what they just turned them into?"
"Dead people," said Rincewind. "I know. I don't want to think about it." Nigel thought he'd never stop